Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's give him a hand clap of praise.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You can be seated at this time. I'm going to just share a quick testimony, just something that happened this week at work. And I believe it's important for us to share something that happened to us, a testimony. And I was at work on a Wednesday afternoon. It was the same day as we come to church on a Wednesday night. And I was hearing this man, and what he was listening to throughout this few days that I worked with him this week. And I never said anything to him until I got to my car, and he was parked next to me. And I just asked him, I said, "Brother, what church do you go to?" And he said, "I go to Calvary Church." I said, "In Addison, Brother Labatt's church?" And he goes, "Yes." And his eyes lit up wide open. And he told me that he used to go to Brother Sagel's church before that. But when he told me that, he goes, "They're having 40 days of fire at this church that I'm going to in Addison, where Brother Blatt preaches." And he goes, "Sunday morning, God filled me with the Holy Spirit." And it was just by me asking him, "What church do you go to?" And I noticing that, you know what, he wasn't just listening to any kind of Christian music, but it was Spirit-filled music that we listen to here. So there's a difference between a Christian music and Spirit-filled music. And that's what he was listening through throughout this week. But he goes, "You know what, brother?" He goes, a month ago, I would not be standing here today. I hit rock bottom. It was a Tuesday night. I grabbed a bottle and emptied it. I was found passed out Wednesday morning in a bathtub." And he goes, My son that is out in California in the military, he said, "Something prompted me. God told me to pray for you, Dad. And when I felt the urgency to pray for you, Dad, somebody that was in my unit came right next to me. He goes, 'I'm going to pray with you for your dad.'" He was found the next day in a bathtub. He hit rock bottom. A month later, God fills him with the Holy Spirit, baptized in his name. A testimony to share. He texted me yesterday and said, "You know what, brother? I got my layoff check. I won't be working there anymore. I got to move on to some other place." But I said, "You know what? Remember where God brought you from, that he is in your present and that he has a future prepared for you. I don't know what your testimony is, your personal testimony is, or a testimony that you may share, that you may want to share with somebody. But if we could just stand at this time before we sing this next song, let your praise, let your worship be your testimony before the Lord today in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord together in this place.
I'm loved by you. It's who I am. Morning, can you thank him? Oh, you are so good. I'm so unworthy of your love.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Unworthy of the mercies that you show me every day. Oh, thank you for gently speaking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. You are so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated if you'd like.
Thank you.
Pray for the offering.
Thank you. I'll be a good listener. I'll worship.
Amen. Amen.
Good and your mercy endureth forever. my good and your mercy endure forever. People of every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are.
He's a good God. And all the time, He's a good God. It is His very nature. He's good. He's good. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. To remind you tonight, 6 o'clock, continuing in our study of understanding the end time. The lesson tonight is on the Antichrist and the false prophet. It is lesson number 8 in a 14 lesson series. We ask that you come be a part of that. If you have not signed up to help us with refreshments or snacks, you can do so. We appreciate that and any and all help that we get along those lines. And it just makes for a good time together with fellowship and a little bit of food. And so that begins tonight, 6 o'clock. I encourage you to come and be a part of that. If you have yet to fill out a I Am Thankful card, please do so. There's a little wicker basket at the back table. We're going to be using this. Remember, our midweek service this coming week is going to be on Tuesday night, not Wednesday night. We are at Thanksgiving week. And so during that time, we move the service back one night from Wednesday night to Tuesday night. And so we ask that you would help us in that and print out a card or fill out a card, rather. And if you want to submit it anonymously, you can. Just circle anonymous submission and put it in the basket. And if you would like to put your name down, you can say submitted by, put your name. But please do this. This will help us in having a good presentation to put on the screen on Tuesday night during our service. We will also be partaking of communion. And so we encourage you to be a part of that as well. And those other things that are happening are on the calendar, making you aware of what's going on. I do want to say a big, big thank you. We had, like, I think it was 16 people that came yesterday to help us in putting together some peanut brittle and some caramel corn. So thank you for that. When I asked on Wednesday night, I know we were way down in number and had about six hands, and I'm like, oh boy. And then so many of you showed up to help. So thank you so much. We will probably in the future, it was good to have all that we had, but we may even split it up into teams. We had plenty of help, and thank you, Sister Davis, man. She ran that kitchen like clockwork, and things happened, and you either, you know, got involved or got out of the way. And so we thank her for just kind of taking the bull by the horns and making it happen for us. So at the back, we have 30-some patties of peanut brittle that you can take and sell. Please see Sister Grimm so she can write your name down and how many patties you're responsible for. We also have, I think we may only have one or two of the tins that are available, which have the broken pieces in them. And then we have bags of caramel corn. And so all that, the prices and such are back there. And this is a way that we can go outside the walls of this church and raise funds. Again, all of the proceeds that are raised from this endeavor will go to our building improvement fund. One of the main things we're doing is getting some estimates on carpet to replace the carpet here in the sanctuary. And so we thank you for that. If you would help us out, we would certainly appreciate that. And why don't you stand? It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Brother Al, for teaching this morning. I want us to once again look into the word of the Lord. Luke chapter number 7. Thank you, Jesus. Begin reading in verse number 36 of Luke chapter 7. I realize that if you do a study of the three different accounts listed in the Bible, Mark and Matthew both record a very similar occurrence, if not the same occurrence. There is conjecture of whether or not they are all one and the same or whether they are different. But I want to focus upon the happening in Luke chapter number 7, beginning in verse number 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And when he, being Jesus, went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. But I say, Jesus already knew. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. In other words, Simon, I have something I need to tell you. Something I need to say. And he saith, Simon said, Master, say on. Be careful when you give Jesus the opportunity to speak into your life. He's going to reveal some things. He's going to point out some things. So Jesus began. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. I think, according to your question, Jesus, that debtor which owed the creditor 500 pence would love him the most because he forgave him the most. Jesus said to him, thou hast rightly judged. And he, Jesus, turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. I'll say that again. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Draw your attention to verse number 47. Jesus, looking at the woman but speaking unto Simon, says, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. I want to preach to you upon this subject. The link of forgiveness and love. The link of forgiveness and love. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can once again look into your word. It would challenge us, that it would stir us in spirit, God, that we would see within these stories, God, ourselves, God, and understand the way in which you work, God, that it would open our eyes to see, God, open our hearts and ears to hear, God, what you would say and how you would speak. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The link of forgiveness and love. The link of forgiveness and love. In the story, a man by the name of Simon, who is a Pharisee, invites Jesus to have dinner with him. On the surface, it seems like a warm, inviting gesture from a Pharisee. Those law-abiding religious zealots who, in all actuality, disdained Jesus and his disciples. They did not agree with his teachings. They did not want people to follow Jesus. They believed Jesus to be a heretic, one who brought false religion. They did not want the people of Israel to follow after men like Jesus, for they felt like men like Jesus would lead them astray. However, this Pharisee brings Jesus and invites him into his home. And while on the surface it seems like it is an inviting gesture from Simon, we find out later in the story that's not the case. You see, Simon did not even do what was customary in that day. According to Eastern culture, it was something that you did whenever you invited a guest into your home. One of the first things that you did upon them entering into your home was either you or your servant prepared a water basin for them to wash their feet. If it was a really honored guest and someone that you really wanted to pay homage to, you yourself would stoop down and you would wash their feet in a sign of servitude. Simon had no water. He never even had a servant come and wash the feet of Jesus. Furthermore, it was customary that you would, at the very least, you would take the hand of the person entering into your home that you invited as a guest, and you would kiss that individual upon the hand. And if you were really, really concerned with how they would be received and wanting to show them honor, you would kiss them upon the cheek. It was a sign of endearment, if you will, that says, I am honored that you have come into my home. It was part of the culture, yet Simon did not do so. You would also, at the very least, if it was just a common guest, you would take something as simple as olive oil and you would place it upon their head just as a gesture and a show that we appreciate you coming. But not even the simplest of olive oil was anointed on the head of Jesus.
So on the surface, while it seems like he was doing something that was honoring Jesus, in all actuality, his non-response to Jesus as his guest, though he invited him, showed some indignation in his heart. Showed that while he may have had Jesus wanting to question him and wanting to hear from this teacher, he did not revere him as an honored guest. He did not give him even rightful or customary treatment as he came into his home. And so the story reveals that Simon does little, if anything, to show that he appreciates the Lord's presence. You see, I feel we often play the role of Simon. We want to have Jesus in the house, but yet we don't really want to treat him as an honored guest. Oh, we want him here. We want to feel his presence, and we want to know that he's among us, and we invite him into the place. But I think and I fear that often we don't do so in light of him being an honored guest. I feel that often we don't do as we should when we know that a broken and contrite spirit, oh Lord, that will not despise. And I feel that often we want him here, but we really don't even give him a customary, obligatory response. We don't cry and yield of ourselves. We don't become broken before him. We don't allow ourselves to even wash his feet. Furthermore, we don't really give him the affection that he deserves. We might symbolically, casually kiss his hand as we clap a little bit or raise our hand every now and then, but to really pour of ourselves, to really show our affection, to really go all out, to really go above and beyond, I fear we often fail to do so. And then furthermore, to anoint, to really participate in praise and worship as we should. To really show affection and our desire to have him here. And this is not an indictment against us. It's simply an understanding that I think when we gather together into this house, we have to be careful because so much of the time it does become tradition. We go through the motions. We're here because it's expected of us, and we know we need to be here, and we sing the songs, and we know the words, and we love the words, and we times lift our hands. But what would it be like if we really came to church with the understanding that I'm going to treat Jesus as an honored guest? I really want him here. I don't want him here just to say he's here. I want him here because I know he can change everything. I want him here because I want his presence in my life every day. And I want to show him how grateful I am that he's still working in me and that he's still doing things in my life. And so I will cry and I will wash his feet with my tears and I will show him affection. I'll do more than just kiss his hand. I'll even make a fool of myself if necessary to show him that I am more concerned with you understanding that you are welcome here than I'm concerned about anybody else and their opinion of me. Do we really understand what it means to truly love him? Yet in all this, we don't find that Jesus gets up, says, oh, you did nothing to show that you care that I'm here, and so I'm leaving. The Bible says, yet Jesus still sat at meat. Even though he was not treated as he should have been treated, and though he understood and those around him understood that what Simon did, or shall I say, did not do, was an indication about how he really felt for Jesus. Yet Jesus did not get up and go. He still sat at me. He still sat there. He certainly could have easily been offended. He certainly could have looked at Simon and said, hey, you invited me here. Yet you didn't do anything to show that you're appreciative that I came. But no, he just sits there. And then in comes this woman. The meal is soon interrupted by a woman of the city. We might say, a lady of the night. She comes in and causes a commotion. She comes in, and the Bible says she stands behind him weeping. She has this alabaster box of ointment. We don't know what it was. The Bible just simply says that she heard that he was there in the house. We don't know what she had to go through. We don't know exactly who she had to push past. We don't know what altercation she may have endured on her way into the house. All we know is that she did whatever she needed to do to get to where Jesus was. Oh, if I could have that same mentality, I'll do whatever I need to do. I'll approach whatever I need to approach. I'll go through any altercation I need to go through as long as I can get to where Jesus is. As long as I can get to where Jesus is. And so there she stands behind him, weeping. She breaks the box. She pours the ointment out, and she's crying. She begins to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair. But the Bible says something about this woman that I never saw before. I read it, but I really didn't understand it. And although we don't know what prompted the woman to come and do this, we do know something about her. The Bible tells us she loved much. Her affections were not focused. She loved much. Her past indicated that she gave herself away figuratively and literally. She loved much. And yet she was abused and used and rejected, and pieces of herself, if you were prostituted away. Probably the only thing that she saw as pure and precious in life was the ointment in the bottle that she brought. We don't know. It could have been that this woman was none other than Mary Magdalene. There's many scholars that believe it was Mary Magdalene that came and did this. If that's true, you won't have to do much research. You will find out that in that day and age, Magdala, which is where she was from, Mary Magdalene, was a very depressed place. Magdala was a province. It was one of the most heavily taxed provinces in all of the area. Not only was it under Roman rule, but it was also under the Jews and their taxing system. And so you will find out that in that day and age, many young girls were sold into sex slavery to pay taxes. We don't know if it was by her choice or by the choices of others. We only know that she was a woman of the city. And she loved much. Abused and rejected. Both the bottle and the woman are shattered before Jesus. She's broken. She's weeping. I have it in my mind's eye. She's crying uncontrollably. She's convulsing. She's having that type of crying that is uncontrollable. And she's gasping and she's weeping. And the tears are rolling down her face and off her chin. And they're creating streaks on the unwashed feet of Jesus. And she's reaching down with her hair and she's wiping. And the only thing Simon can do is say within himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman this is that now touches him. Newsflash, Simon, he knows. He knows exactly who is touching him. He knows all of her past. He knows all that she loves. He knows that she has loved much. Given herself away time and time again. She sees herself as anything but pure, as anything but precious. And she's broken, crying and weeping and wiping his feet with her hair. And Jesus turns to Simon and says, I have somewhat to say to thee. Simon, I know what you're saying in yourself. I know your thoughts even now. I know you're thinking to yourself that I'm not even a prophet because I don't know the manner of woman she is. But I have something I need to say to you, Simon. you need to understand that there is a link between love and forgiveness. You need to understand something, Simon, and I have somewhat to say to thee, and I'm going to say it in a story. I'm going to give you a little story, Simon. There was two debtors who owed a creditor. One, 500 pence, and 150. And the creditor forgave them both. So Simon, who will love him the most? Simon, answer this question, because the answer to this question will reveal so much. Simon, who will love him the most? You see, the question is not, does the creditor love the debtor? He forgave them both. His love is equal. Simon, even though you didn't wash my feet and you didn't kiss my hand and you didn't anoint my head with oil, I still love you. Simon, even though you didn't treat me with any respect, and even though what you did or did not do was a sign, it was a show of your indignation and your true feelings for me, you need to understand I still love you. As the creditor, I love them both equally. Simon, I love you just as much as I love her, and I love her just as much as I love you. You see, Simon, you're the debtor of 50, and she's the debtor of 500. For her sins are many. Simon, what you fail to realize is that there is a link between love and forgiveness. And you have just answered a question. You have rightly judged the one whom he gave 500. That one will love him the most. What you need to understand, Simon, is it is not about my love for you or my love for her. It is about your love for me or her love for me. And the way I see it and understand, according to the word of God, is that this woman, this lady of the night, this sinner, is exemplifying and showing so much love. Because there is a link between love and forgiveness. You see, Simon, love for me is linked to the understanding of my forgiveness. I'm going to say that again. Simon, you need to understand, love for me is linked to the understanding of my forgiveness. I read this quote not long ago. Is it attributed to Charles H. Spurgeon? It is this: the more holy a man becomes, the more he mourns the unholiness that remains in him. The more holy a man becomes, the more he mourns the unholiness that remains in him. See, I'm coming to understand that in our generation, love is waxing cold in Christianity because less and less are seeing the forgiveness necessary in their lives. There is a link between love and forgiveness. The sad part is that so many people don't see themselves as bad anymore. They don't see themselves in need of forgiveness. Because seeing your need and seeing my need for forgiveness requires humility. Repentance requires humility, coming before God broken. Coming before God realizing there's nothing in me. My righteousness is as but filthy rags. There is a link between love and forgiveness. And this is why Jesus says, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. There is a link between the understanding of my need for forgiveness and my love for the one who forgives me. There was a link between my understanding of my need for forgiveness and my love for the one who forgives me. The more holy a man becomes, the more he mourns the unholiness that remains in him. It is no mystery why the Apostle Paul, as you go throughout the epistles, sees less and less of himself and more of God. At the end, he's calling himself the chiefest of sinners. Why, Paul? Because I've come to understand the link between love and forgiveness. And I'm the one who persecuted the church. I'm the one who delivered up men and women and children under the council at Jerusalem. And I've come to understand I need his forgiveness and my need for his forgiveness has caused me to love him so much. See, this is why Jesus told the disciples, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Why is it that we're always looking for surface people? Who are close to the surface of what we deem as spiritual or close to being a saint. They have the potential. It just takes a little bit of honing here and there and then they can become just like we are. Wait a second. Jesus says there's a link between love and forgiveness. And those who have little to forgive, they also love very little. Want to know why the enemy fights those that have so much baggage that have been in and out of rehab and that have addictions and they have all this story to tell? You want to know why? Because they are so deep in sin that if they ever turn it around, they will be so in love with Jesus. There is a link between love and forgiveness. And the more I realize how much I need his forgiveness, the more in love with Jesus I become. So it's hard to sing the words of the old song without becoming broken like the woman who stood behind Jesus. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the deep heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. There is a link between love and forgiveness. See, I've come to understand my love for him is linked to how far I realize he has to reach for me. My love for him is linked to the realization of how far he has had to reach for me. God, help me. Help me to see. See, I thank God that I was raised in a pastor's home. I thank God that I was raised around God-fearing people. I thank God that I was raised on a church pew. I thank God that I was taught in Sunday school. There's also a part of me that wonders. And I am not in any way, shape, or form saying that you need to go and backslide. That is not what I'm saying. But I think sometimes those that have backslid and have come back have a deeper appreciation for the love of God. Because there is a link between love and forgiveness. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. I need to be reminded of how far He reached for me. I'm going to say that again. I need to be reminded of how far He reached for me. Because that realization will cause some tears to creep from the corners of my eyes. My lips will want to part and kiss the one who came to my rescue. I will anoint Him with praise and worship. As the song says, it's the overflow of a forgiven soul. There is a link between love and forgiveness. Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. Simon, you see, you can't truly love me like this woman can, because you can't see the sin in your own life. Simon, you're only aware of the 50. And she's aware of the 500. And while I love and forgive you both, there is a link between love and forgiveness. And so her love is greater because her sins were many. Oh, I would to God that when we see Him on the street, and we hear the stories, and we think in ourselves, wow, what a life they've lived. Their sins are many. Please don't see that as a detractant. Please don't see that as an obstacle. Please don't see the baggage as something that will keep them far from Jesus. See them as something that will give them depth in a relationship with Him that may even be far beyond your own. For there is a link between love and forgiveness. And every time I come into this house, I don't need to just go through the motions, just sing the little songs, raise my hands a little bit. I need to be reminded of how far He's reached for me, and love lifted me. And so, Lord, I cry, I pour out my spirit. I symbolically kiss You with affection as I praise and worship. I anoint You with oil, God. I'm so happy You're here. I'm so thankful that You rescued me. That You reached below the billowing waves and drew me out. You brought me out of the miry clay. You set my feet on a rock to stay. You put a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah! There is a link between love and forgiveness. If I really understood, and I'm doing my best to impart unto you, but if I really understood this story and all its implications, you couldn't keep me from this altar. You couldn't stop me from making my way like the woman did. You couldn't convince me otherwise. Your looks at me wouldn't deter me one bit. Your word of discouragement, we have no effect upon me whatsoever. If I truly understood the link between love and forgiveness, I'd run to the altar and say, thank You, Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for forgiving me. I love you because of how far you had to reach. I love you because you first loved me. There is a link between love and forgiveness.
Thank you.
Story of Luke 7 of our text was in fact Mary Magdalene. This is what John chapter 20 records. After Jesus is taken and laid in the tomb upon his death upon the cross, the first one to the tomb was somebody who loved so deep. John 20:11 reads like this. Look back at verse number 10. This is what Peter, James, John, this is what the other disciples did. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Where did Mary go? One who had received much forgiveness. One whom Jesus had cast out devils. The one. She didn't go home. She loved so much. That was John 20 and 10. Disciples went their own home, but John 20, 11 says, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had been laid. Verse 15 of chapter 20. The first one Jesus speaks to. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him. I want to be where he is. Tell me where he is. Where have you taken him? Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turns and says, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She loved much because she had been forgiven much. There is a link between love and forgiveness. One more time, can we lift our hands? Lord, we thank you for your word. Every time we look therein, it reveals so much. It shows us so much, even about ourselves.
Hallelujah.
Help us to understand more every day the link between love and forgiveness, and realize when I rise each morning, your mercies are new. Your forgiveness is there because you love me. And I love you because you forgive me. Oh, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you for your beautiful presence in this place, God. how wonderful it is to know you and to serve you. With us from this place today. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. An opportunity to go back and take some peanut brittle to sell. We certainly welcome that. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. You may go. In Jesus' precious name.